Okay, well, let's turn tonight to the book of Romans in chapter 4. And last week we left off at verse 8, and now we're going to verse 9. And we're going to just go ahead and finish the chapter tonight, God willing, creek don't rise. And we'll go ahead and begin reading here in verse 9. Now, we're going to begin to talk about circumcision here, because just to let you know, that circumcision was a sign that you were Jewish in the old days. In fact, in the early Olympics, they could always tell about the Jewish guys that were entered the race because of the circumcision. They would actually run naked in the first Olympics, and so they could see that. So I just wanted to let you know that that is a sign to show the world and to declare to themselves that they are God's people. And so in the course of time over the years, they made too much of it. They actually said, you know, that if you weren't circumcised, you couldn't go to heaven. You know, you just didn't know the Lord. But the Apostle Paul's arguing with that right now, and he's just letting us know that this is just a sign, an outward sign. And so it's what's in the heart that counts. It's not the circumcision of the flesh, but the circumcision of the heart, where God cuts away sin and the things that keep us from Him. So let's just read here. It says, now, does this blessedness of actually having faith put to your account in heaven, righteousness put to your account in heaven through faith, does that come, this blessedness then, upon the circumcision only? Upon the Jewish people that have been circumcised, or upon uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned or put to the account of Abraham for righteousness. Yes, it was. Father Abraham, the father of the faith. And he believed God, the Bible says, and it was accounted to him or put to his account in heaven as righteousness. Always love to use a math problem idea here. If you had algebra or any kind of math class in school, that you can write on a blackboard faith, and then you can put an equal sign after it and put righteousness. Faith in Christ and in Christ alone will bring righteousness to your life. And that is just the most amazing, wonderful equation ever that we could put on a blackboard. And so Abraham, Father Abraham, was the first to experience this. We say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision, having the sign of being Jewish, or in uncircumcision? When did he believe that promise and receive that righteousness from the Lord? And it says here, not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. He was not circumcised when he believed, and God imputed it to him for righteousness. It was later that he got circumcised. And he received the sign, and there it is, I mentioned before we started reading, the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised. And so it's kind of like an outward expression, just a sign that he was part of those that believed in God, that he might be the father of all them that believe, not just to the Jew, but to the Gentile alike. And Gentile means non-Jewish. So that'd be all of you and me. And so that's, that gift is to everybody that believes, not just to those that have the sign of circumcision. Though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed, and there's that word again, imputed, which means put to the account of the person in heaven, unto them also, and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. And so actually that first covenant that God gave to Abraham was without any sign of it, or any circumcision or uncircumcision. Because these folks were trying to push the idea that you needed to be circumcised in order to be saved. And that was baloney, baloney, salami, right? You just have to have faith. And so that's where that's at. Now, I wanted to take you on just a short journey, because this is such an important doctrine throughout the Bible, because it actually comes to the idea that, okay, I've made up certain rules that I'm going to live by, and that's going to get me to heaven. And you can put circumcision in there or any other thing, ritual stuff. And it doesn't mean anything to God if it's not a heart thing. But we have to deal with the heart. And we have to look on the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And He wants to see a heart that is burning for Him, that says to Him, Lord, do what You want with me, and I'm Yours. Whether I'm circumcised or not circumcised, doesn't matter. And that's what Paul's getting to here. He just wants us to know that, and indeed the Jewish folks to know that, so they can accept their Gentile brothers that just want to seek the Lord. And so there it is. Now, I'd like to take you on a little journey through the book of Genesis, in the beginning of Genesis, that shows what's being said here, what Paul's pointing out. Number one, Abraham received the blessing of being saved just through faith before he was circumcised. So let's take a look at Genesis 15:6. And we're just going to go through a few verses in Genesis to establish this idea, because it's so important. So we go to Genesis 15:6. And here in Genesis 15:6, it says that he, that is Abraham, believed in the Lord. And the Lord, He counted it to him for righteousness. Now, this is before Abraham was circumcised. And we read that it was long afterwards. We want to go ahead and turn to Genesis 17:10. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 10. Now this is after chapter 15, right? 17 is after 15. And we go to verse 1. It says, now Abram was 90 years old, and the Lord appeared to him and said to him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect. Be mature before me, and I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply you exceedingly. Now we go to verse 10, and there in verse 10 it says, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you and your seed after you. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. And so the seal was given to him in chapter 17, and he was declared righteous by faith in verse 15. So we see what the Apostle Paul is saying in Romans 4. This is true. It's just true. He received the promise and the faith in the Lord and his righteous standing with the Lord, his salvation, before he was circumcised. So this kind of takes away the argument that you have to be circumcised in order to be saved. Now, he certainly didn't receive the blessing through the law. This is getting a little heavier now. The Jewish law. Does the Jewish law save us? No, it doesn't. Because actually, Abraham actually received the promise and the belief in the promise before the law ever came. And you know how many years it was afterwards? 430 years later, Moses received the Ten Commandments and the Jewish law. So there's no way that it was the law that saved him. No, it was the faith. So it's been the same since the very beginning. It's always been about faith. the just shall live by faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'd like to now give you a scripture on that. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17. So now Galatians in the New Testament, and this is building to a point, so just get the history of this. It's good to get the history of it. So we go to Galatians in chapter 3, verse 16. Now Galatians is right past 2 Corinthians. So we've been in Romans, you go to 1 and 2 Corinthians, and then Galatians. And so it's Galatians chapter 3 and verse 16. Says here, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not into seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed who is Christ. Because through Father Abraham eventually came Jesus Christ. And he is the center focus of the whole entire Bible, Jesus Christ. And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. The promise was good. Abraham believed the promise of God. And the law coming 430 years later doesn't take away the effect of the promise. God chose to make it very simple for us, something our three-year-olds can understand in Sunday school. If you believe on Jesus and open your heart to Jesus, the law can't save you? No. And being circumcised can't save you? Nothing can save you. You can't climb a mountain and find the holy rose or whatever and get saved? No. It's just by coming to Jesus, and this is the whole point. Notice the two words in the middle of verse 17, in Christ. In Christ. The covenant, the agreement with Abraham, was simply in Christ through faith. Abraham believed God, and it was put to his account as righteousness. Now I'd like to show you one more verse in Galatians that's mind-blowing, and I love it. Galatians 3:29, just go to verse 29 in the same chapter. We just read about being in Christ. And it says here, if you be Christ, you belong to Jesus Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. All these promises were made to Abraham's seed, to Abraham and his seed. The promise was made. And who's Abraham's seed? If you be in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Glory to God. Now there's a liberating scripture for you. Hallelujah. We're in Christ. We're Abraham's seed. Did you know that Father Abraham had many sons? Many sons had Father Abraham. And I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. This is a glorious truth. And so I wanted to give you a little background on that truth with showing you those verses in Genesis. It was way, at least 14 years, 14 years before Abraham was circumcised after he believed God. And God put it to his account in heaven as righteousness. At least 14 years. And it was 430 years before the Jewish law came that Abraham believed God. And it was accounted to him for righteousness. And so none of these things can make the promise that was given to him of having not an effect. It's effectual. It's still in existence. It still is how we get saved. It's as simple as that. And it is a wonderful thing to know. And so it was important for the Jewish people to know that they needed to open their hearts to the Savior And one day all of Israel will be saved. That's in the book of Romans a little later. And also we're told that in Revelation chapter 12, the last verse, that all of Israel will have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's how they get saved, just like you and me. We're all the same. There's no difference between Jew or Greek. Gentile, Greek meaning they're Gentile or non-Jew. We're all the same in Jesus Christ. And that includes male and female too. And we all march shoulder to shoulder, male and female, Jew and Greek. There's no difference. We're all the same in Jesus Christ. Glory to God. Such great news. This is all about the gospel, isn't it? Let's go back to Romans now, and this will help us understand the rest of the chapter. So we go to Romans and chapter 4 again. Now it says here, then in verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law. We just established that, didn't we? But through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void. Yeah. If you can get in some other way, then, you know, faith is just not worth anything. But no, there is no other way. The just shall live by faith. Again, I quote that verse. It's three times in the Bible. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void and the promise made of no effect. Because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. The law works wrath because the wages of sin is death. And if you break the law, in one point, just one point, you're guilty of all, we're told in the Bible. And so that there's no way anyone's going to get saved through keeping any kind of law. If there was a law whereby men could have been saved, God would have given it. But the law is our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because we all come up guilty, guilty, guilty. You're no good. You're no good. Baby, you're no good. I mean, that's an old song, right? But it's just the truth. And God has to cause us to see that truth before we can just respond to Him and be saved. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. By grace you are saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. I love that. Yes, he is the father of us all because of faith. And faith alone. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens or makes alive the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. Oh my goodness, this is such a tremendous truth in the Bible. So often we can't see what God's doing. And he gives us so many precious promises, and sometimes we don't see those things happening. But so many just believed before it happened, and this is one of those cases, and it's an example from Father Abraham. God had told him, I have made you a father of many nations. Verse 17, there is a quote from Genesis 17:5. And God is calling those things which be not as though they were. No way was Abraham a father of nations when God told him that he would be a father of nations. He was a nomadic tribesman. The nomads just traveled in tents. They lived in tents And they would go from place to place in desert areas. And that's what Abraham was. And he in no way was the father of nations. Right up to when he died, he was not the father of nations. But now he is. And you and I are part of that. And every nation, every tribe, and every kindred will one day be singing praises to Jesus Christ, the descendant that came out through Abraham and Abraham's faith. And he's the father of us all of us in America that know the Lord. If you be Christ, you be Abraham's seed. All of those that know Jesus Christ in Russia, China, Japan, all over the world. And indeed, God kept his promise to Abraham. And it is a glorious thing to see. But he said, yes, I have made you a father of nations before him who believed, even God who quickens the dead, and called those things which be not as though they were, because God knew it would one day come to pass. Now, at this section here, I wanted to turn with you to Genesis 17 and look at verses 5 through 8. So let's go back there to Genesis. This verse has been really blessedly real to us, to Sherry and I, and to our church. And I wanted to share with you because today, this very day at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, this thing was fulfilled. And I want to share the whole story with you for our church. Now it says in verse 5, Genesis 17, neither shall your name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made you. And so there's that promise to Abraham that is alive today because of you and I and all the other Christians in the world. And I will make you exceedingly fruitful. Would you say that Abraham's been exceedingly fruitful? Oh yeah. And I will make nations of you, and kings shall come out of you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and the seed after you in their generations for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto you and to your seed after you. And I will give to you and to your seed after you the land wherein you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Now the land of Canaan is Israel, and Israel is alive and active today. And God is keeping his promise over there in that holy land. And one day, the sky's going to open up and Jesus Christ is going to put his foot on the Mount of Olives and it's going to split in half and make a brand new valley called the Valley of Jehoshaphat or the Valley of Judgment. And he will judge the nations there. And he'll put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. And he's going to say to the sheep, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that was prepared for you from the beginning of the world. And Jesus will set up his throne and his dominion in Jerusalem. And oh, what a day that'll be. What a great day that will be. That great getting up in the morning day. And what a blessing. Now, God many times will personalize these promises to our own lives. Because if you be Christ, you be Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And the Lord did this with us. We rent this building, and we have rented it now for 26 years. And it was done through a very wonderful man who got saved in Egypt during World War II by the Coptic Christians. And he leased this building to us for our church. And after a course of time, there were some times that looked difficult for us, and we thought, oh, we're going to lose the building. And it just looked that way. Because 2007 hit, the real estate market dropped out of the bottom, and we were paying $35,000 a month for this building. And our real estate guys went, you know, downhill and weren't able to give money to support the church. And so if we did not get a $10,000 deduction in our rent a month, down to $25,000 a month, we would have lost our place to worship. And this man, John Bone, being a strong Christian, I called him on the phone. I've never done anything so as bold as this in my life. I said, John, can you deduct the rent by $10,000 a month? And he said, yeah. That was heavy. And he took away $10,000 a month for our rent. And thus, we're here today. And we thank God for that. And so the Lord, around that time, gave me this promise. I will give you and to your seed. My son James at that time was wondering whether he would work in the secular school teaching thing or be the principal of our school here. And I was praying about that up in the desert. And the Lord gave us this verse. I will give unto you and to your seed. In other words, James is going to stay and be your principal after you. The land wherein you are a stranger, the land that you're renting. And God did that. As James stayed and became our principal, and he was a great principal of our school. Oh yeah, he did a great job. Worked for us for 14 years, and the building was saved because God gave it to us, not Mr. Bone. God gave us this building, and it was such a blessing to know that. Well, in the course of time, we come to modern history now. The same threat came up. Sherry and I went back to the desert, and we're crying out to God, God, what are we going to do? We're not going to make salaries one of the months, and it's looking bad. And our school was losing $5,000 a month. And so it looked like the school was going to close. Yeah. And then we would have no need of this giant building. And our lease was coming up due July 1st, and it looked really bad. But we just started praying to the Lord. And the Lord gave us the same scripture again, the land wherein you are a stranger. And he said, here he added this little clause, all the land. Because the owner had made a suggestion, the new owner, the old one died, his son took over. Anyway, so he said to us, well, why don't you let me lease out 10,000 square feet back here, and then you can just keep the front of the building. And the Lord gave us this verse, all the land. I'm giving you all the land. And so it was just so deep in our hearts. And so we knew that the new lease had to be affordable for us to have the whole land. And we had to find a school real fast. And it was so amazing. Up in the desert, the Lord spoke to us and said, call Open Door. And so I did. I called Open Door because he had come about a year before and said, can we rent some rooms from you? And I said, we don't have any room to give you right now. So I remembered him and I called him and I said, bro, are you still in the market to rent some rooms? He said, I can't believe you just called me. We just made plans to build rooms on top of our little church over on Harbor, but the city just turned us down, and we don't know what we're going to do with our school. And so God put us together and kept his promise, because they're moving in here in just a couple of weeks now and be part of this whole organization. And we're going to have a school not from preschool to eighth grade, but preschool to high school. And that also we have a Bible college right here in the rooms right over here through Pastor Bill that was connected to Marietta. So we've got preschool through college. And God did it. God did it. God did it. He's amazing. And He gave us these promises to hold on to. I will give you the land wherein you are a stranger. All the land. And we're getting it all. And He raised the rent $6,000, but our old school was losing $5,000. We're having a new school come in where we're not paying for the teachers because it's another school. So we save $5,000 right there. And they're going to pay $1,000 a month for the utilities that they use here. That's $6,000. And Bill figured that out today, and I went, wow. God, you are so creative. You are amazing. And so, you know, I just want to rejoice with you guys and rejoice in the power of the Lord God Almighty to do amazing, amazing things, which He just did. And man, I am so blessed to be able to have scriptures. God gave us scriptures to hang on to match the events and the trials in our lives. And I believe God wants to do that for us all the time. I really do. I think He wants to speak to you in a very personal way through scriptures He gave, yes, to Abraham, but also to you. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the things that you need will simply be added to you. Now, there's a biggie. Yeah. And I've ordained you to bring forth much fruit, and your fruit will remain. These are things for you and for I. God wants us to live the Bible. He wants us to walk the Bible. He wants us to really be in touch with Him. Antenna always up to listen for the Lord. And so what a blessing and what a great thing. Well, let's go on back now then to Romans and look at the things that Abraham believed that were impossible. And God is a God of the impossible and what He wants to do. So we read then here back in Romans 4, verse 18. Abraham hoped against hope. He believed in hope. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, and that's his wife. She was 90 years old, way past menopause, couldn't have babies anymore. And him, he's 100. The promise was given to him when he was 99. We just read that back in 17:1 of Genesis. He's 99 years old when God said, next year you're going to have a son. And he's going to be your seed and carry your name. And it was just an impossible thing. But nothing's impossible with God. And so being not weak in faith, Abraham considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. I love the part where Abraham gives glory to God. And I want to show you that in the book of Genesis. So let's go back now to Genesis. I know you're getting tired of turning there, but it's such a great place to go. And look at verses chapter 17 again, and verses 15 through 17. Genesis chapter 17. And and 15 through 17. God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be." You know what Sarah means? Princess. I love this. God has called the wife of Abraham princess. Yeah. "And I will bless her and give you a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations." And so she joins the blessing of being a parent of nations along with her husband, the mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. Then, I love this verse, and this is why I'm bringing you here. It says that God, he did not actually faint at the promise of God, but he rather gave glory to God. So God promises him the son at age 99, and Abraham fell on his face and laughed. He just laughed and just was so blessed that he couldn't do anything but just laugh, and said in his heart, "Shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, that is 90 years old, bear?" And it's not a statement of unbelief, but a statement of, wow, Lord God. And he's just cracking up with the Lord and just having fun with the Lord and glorying in God's promise that he's going to be 100 years old when he fathers a son, and that his wife is going to be 90. And so the laughter just begins to roll out. And, you know, it is so great to just come to those moments when there's nothing you can do but just accept the joy unspeakable and full of glory. And that's the way the Lord wants to be relating to you, is surprising you with joy in your life as you wait upon him and you look to him and you ask him. And he wants to give us those moments of wow, wow, and just experience the laughter with the Lord. I think I shared with you many times before, but before our son passed away, he had a vision of heaven. And my mom and dad got divorced when I was 2 and a half, so he had never seen my mom and dad together. My oldest son, John, when he passed away, he had never seen them together. He loved both of them dearly. One lived in Pennsylvania and the other here in California, but they were both passed away already. This was only 4 months before he passed away. But he saw this vision of them in heaven, and they were cracking up with Jesus. They were just laughing together and laughing with the Lord. And it blessed him so much. And I really believe God gave him that peek into heaven because he was about ready to go there. And we can expect when we get to heaven, my wife and I here, to see John again. We know what he's going to be doing. He's going to be laughing with my mom and dad and Jesus. And we're going to laugh together with them. Like Abraham laughed in the desert when God told him, "You're going to have a son." And he simply believed him. And it did come to pass. And it's over now. So we know it was the Lord because it happened. You know, oftentimes you wonder, I wonder if that was the Lord, you know, that's speaking to you through his word or giving you little special promises in your heart. I wonder if that's the Lord. You know how you can tell when it happens? You know, when it comes to pass, then you know, oh, that was God, you know. And you can get so blessed with that and just break into laughter, really. He's just amazing. So there it is for you there in Genesis. Well, let's go back then to chapter 4 of Romans, because it goes on about Abraham. It says, let's read it again. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in the faith, giving glory to God, and fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed, and here it is again. Remember this word imputed or accounted to his account is 9 times just in this chapter. God imputed to him righteousness for believing him. God wants you to believe him. And if you have faith in the Lord, man, you can just be so elevated above this whole world scene in your heart. Yeah. Just grab a hold of the promises and put your foot on them and allow the Lord to speak to you. So being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore, it was imputed or accounted to him for righteousness. Righteousness before God. How can I become righteous before God? Believe him. Jesus put it this way. The disciples said, Lord, what should we do to do the works of God? And Jesus looked at them and said, believe on him whom he has sent. Period. It's the whole story. Martin Luther said it this way. It's by faith alone that we come to salvation. By faith alone. That's what you need to believe God. So great. Now, this gets real personal, you guys. You ready for some personal scriptures? Now, it was not written for his sake alone. Not written for Abraham. That it was imputed to him or accounted for righteousness. But for us also. And that's what I've been trying to tell you the whole sermon. It's for us also. To whom it shall be imputed or accounted if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses. He died for your sins. Anything that God can hold against you was paid for on the cross. Jesus became sin on that cross. Your sin. So that he could give you his righteousness, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, this clause is very heavy, very deep. This is the meat of the Word of God, man. He was raised again from the dead for what? For your justification. You know what justification means? Justified, never sinned. Justified, never sin. Justification is to bring you into sanctification. Now these are a lot of $15 words, but sanctification is simply God's conveyor belt. And you go in as a block of wood. And through the sawing off of your rough corners and so forth, you come out at the end a China doll. Yeah, because when you see him, you'll be just like him. Perfect in every way. You'll be baked and done. You can open the oven and take you out because you're done when you die. And so that is what God's plan is for you, to daily conform you to his image, working on your life. And so he was raised again for our justification, our total justification. When we get to heaven, it says in Hebrews, we'll see a bunch of men, the just made perfect, and the justice of God on Jesus Christ on the cross is what gives you that opportunity to be sanctified, separated totally to God. Every thought is pure. Every word is blessed. Every word is like golden apples in silver settings, as it says in Proverbs. A word fitly spoken. It's like golden apples in silver settings. And that's what we'll have at that time. Now, this verse He was raised again for our justification actually helps us understand why Jesus received his second name in Matthew chapter 1. So let's take a look at that. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Now Jesus has like 300 names in the Bible. But in Matthew chapter 1, we're given two names. And there's reasons for that. So we're going to take a look at it. And it's the second name is for the justification part of it. Now Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel is talking to Joseph in a dream, speaking to him about Jesus being of the Lord and not to worry about marrying Mary. She was pregnant. He was doubtful. He wanted to think about divorcing her. Angel said, no. You marry her, and I want you to call this holy child. It's of the Holy Spirit. A couple of names. The first one is Jesus. Let's look at verse 21. And he shall bring forth a son. She, your wife, shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's the first part of that last verse in Romans. He was delivered up, actually, to wash our sins away. Yes. For he shall save his people from their sins. This is his mission. Jesus means the Lord is salvation. Jesus, Jehovah, J-E stands for Jehovah. Jesus is salvation. The Lord is salvation, is what Jesus means. And so he was given that name, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's his mission. Now, all of this was done. Verse 22, are you with me in Matthew 1? Now, all of this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name, second name, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. This is who he is. He is God, and he is with us. He doesn't save you from your sins and then pat you on the buns and send you forth into the world and to stumble around. Oh no, he's with you. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he shall be in you and with you. He shall be with you and in you. And that's the Lord Jesus' Spirit dwelling in you, walking with you every day, talking with you every day, giving you personal prophecies, giving you personal words for your life, giving you hope and all that you need to live every day. That's who he is, being daily conformed to his image. And so he was risen again for our justification and our sanctification, to just lead us through this life, because he's so very present. And so his second name is for a reason that's given. Because Emmanuel simply means God with us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us and is in us and is through us. We are in Christ. And if you be Christ, you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promises of God. It's tremendous. You know how many promises are in the Bible? Who had it? What did you say? No, that's how many times. Yeah, that's how many times he says, don't be afraid. 365 times. That's right. Isabel's got it. There was a brother that took the time to count how many promises he could find in the Bible. 7,600 promises. How many do I know? Well, about 8. I got a long way to go, man. Got a long way to go. But wow, the more we're in the Word, and we get, you know, today I just got to share Al, right here, Al. He comes beaming up, and I'm thinking, Al's really looking just so close to Jesus lately, you know, especially tonight. He was just smiling and just blessed. And he says, Mark, he says, I'm going to church 5 nights a week. And there's different Bible studies, you know, he goes to. We have something every night. But it just hit me, you know. He is spending more time with the Lord. And so he's shining brighter and brighter. And that's what the scripture says, that we will shine brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. The righteous will shine brighter and brighter unto that perfect day. The more you spend time with Jesus, the brighter and brighter you get. Because he's with you. God is with us. And there's no doubt about it. And so I'd like to just read that verse from Romans again with you as we looked at these two names. Let's just read that last verse in Romans to just let it sink in a little bit before we pray and sing. So Romans chapter 4, the last verse is 25 that we just read there. Romans 4:25. He was delivered for our offenses. The things that we've done against God, he was delivered for our sin. And he was raised again for our justification, making us into what we've always wanted to be, walking with us, talking with us, being very close to us, our Emmanuel, God with us. How precious that is. We don't, I think, we'll ever know the depth of that until heaven. And I am looking forward to seeing him face to face and laughing my guts out with my son and my dad and mom. Oh, what a day that'll be. We'll do that together, right? Yeah, it's going to be good. Okay, well, let's pray together, huh? Let's pray. So, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this incredible book of Romans. It is amazing. And, Lord, it takes us into the depths of what you have for us. And Lord, you're so good to share your heart directly with us as we seek your face. For you have said, seek and you will find. And Lord, we want to be there doing that every day. Help us, Lord, with this, Father. And thank you, Lord, that when we see you, we will be like you. Appreciate it, Father. Thank you for taking the time to work with us. It's so good of you. Appreciate you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. If you would desire prayer for anything tonight, the prayer room's open for you. You can come and get some prayer. You have not because you ask not, the Bible says. So may the Lord bless you. God continue to just fill you and use you in every way, every day. In Jesus' name, amen.